Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday morning. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. By the way, we will have You Just Made the List coming up at noon. We're excited about that in our first installment of Trivia. That is coming up at 1 o'clock. So we are excited about some things on the show here on this Friday. Don't forget, rocknashville.com is your community resource page, brought to you by 102.5 The Game and Cromwell Media. Even though we're all in our homes, we're social distancing, quarantined right now, we'll get through this together like we always do, especially here in Nashville. We'll just stick together. Go to rocknashville.com to support local businesses who are supporting you. I believe we have, do we have Trent Dilfer on the line with us, Elijah?
Not yet.
All right. We are working on Trent Dilfer over at Lipscomb Academy. Sean Henry, president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, will join us at the bottom of the hour. Guys, anything jump out at you sports-wise since we got off the air yesterday? Because you notice, like, things are starting to trickle down, and there's, you know, we told you the Indianapolis 500 has been moved to August 23rd. But, you know, the news cycle, even though, by the way, Roger Goodell is continuing to tell them, hey, the draft is going on, folks. The date's set.
That, I don't know about that. If you have the GMs that are pushing back and they're saying, hey, can we not do this as scheduled? You know, we need to think about this. I think that's, you know, that's something that Goodell needs to listen to. One piece of news out of the wrestling world, you know, WrestleMania is still going on. They're going to do it two nights, and supposedly they're taping it. They're in the process of doing that, so they don't have so many people in the building at the same time. So they're taping it, bit by bit. But Roman Reigns, who's one of the big stars, played football at Georgia Tech. He has backed out. He has battled leukemia in the past, and he's susceptible and has said, you know, he's not comfortable being out. And so he has backed out of, and he was in the main event fighting for the title. So that's pretty big news that he has been, he's the biggest star now to say, you know what, I'm out, not going to compete. So
might not be the only one.
I don't think he will be. I think it's a, you know, I'm the biggest wrestling fan around, and I think it's a mistake. I think that they have, not only have they now watered down the event because they're trying to save it, but it's just a bad look. So I think that they need to come out, and they may be too far along now, but they need to just come out and say, hey, we're going to postpone this and do it later.
I agree. All right, let's head over to the campus of Lipscomb Academy. Let's bring in their football coach, Trent Dilfer. We always appreciate our conversations with him. Trent, how you doing? Good morning.
What's happening, guys? You guys doing all right? You healthy? Your family's healthy?
We're hanging in there. How about you?
Yeah, I feel bad for a lot of people, but we're doing well.
That's good to hear. What would you be doing this time of year as we sit here in late March? What is a normal routine? Well, none of us are in a normal routine, but if we were, what would you be doing with your football team?
Well, one, our strength and conditioning program, which I, you know, think is as good as there is, would be working an hour a day. Our guys would be working on their own. We can't coach them this time of year, but we have a great culture of player-driven workouts, so our players would be out on the field or in the indoor doing stuff. We'd be doing a lot of game planning. We're already breaking down our next year's opponents and game planning for them, kind of staff meeting system, you know, evaluation, looking at last year's cut-up, seeing what we could do better, seeing where we could teach better. And we do some human development stuff. You know, we're really big on the human development stuff. So leadership development, time management, academic services. We'd have them in study hall for probably 4 hours a week this time of year. So a lot of gaps we have to fill when we get back to normalcy.
Yeah. Do you believe that are you concerned about your season?
I'm concerned for people that are hurting. I'm trying not to be selfish about this.
Sure.
And the selfish part of me, absolutely. My carnal nature and wanting to make sure that we play a season and we get to be around the boys and we get to do what we set out to do, absolutely. But what trumps that is just the general welfare of people that are being greatly impacted by what's going on. And I'm all for the physical distancing. I think social distancing is a dangerous term to use because I think the more social isolation we have, our mental health becomes a real problem. So I'm encouraging our kids to FaceTime and play their video games online and make sure they're having human interaction, social interaction, while they're still physically distancing themselves from each other.
Yeah, well said. Maybe I'm going to start practicing. That's a good idea. You're right. That's a better word. That's good. Good call on that, because you're right.
I'm going crazy. I mean, I need social interaction.
Yes.
And my family, I love my girls that are home from college. I love my wife dearly, but at the end of the day, there's only so many Netflix shows you can watch and only so many arts and crafts you can do and, you know, read so many books. I think we need to be interacting with human beings, and technology is a great advantage. I've been on a lot of great Zoom calls, FaceTime, you know, a lot of ways you can still interact with people without being physically close to them.
This is show 7 of us all doing it from our homes, and I'd never heard of Zoom, Trent, and now, you know, that's, like you said, a good point. I mean, we're Zooming all kinds of things now, whether it's friends, the baseball community, you know, our baseball family, work. So, yeah, I'd never even heard of it for about a week and a half ago, and then now we use it all the time. I did want to ask you real quick before I flip things over to these guys. George Kittle and his wife come to a lot of Predators games. They're huge Preds fans. Mm-hmm. I know George Kittle is a huge Preds fan. And I saw them in a lot of games before, unfortunately, they had to shut down this season because of this. I know his father is on your staff. You're a Northern California guy. I get it. Where did that relationship come from? I don't know the background on that. I know he's one of your coaches.
So George made home in Nashville. He decided to make home in Nashville. Him and CJ Beth are really good friends. And I think CJ convinced him to make Nashville home. And then Bruce and his wife Jan were down visiting George last year as he was starting his off-season workouts. And I was looking for an offensive line coach. I thought I had one done. So I wasn't sure, and George kind of was really impressed with what we had started to develop here at Lipscomb. He saw that we weren't just building a high school program, we're trying to build something far bigger than that, and started telling his dad about it. And his dad had got out of coaching from Oklahoma in 2015, I think, or 16. He was on Stoops' staff at Oklahoma and was a lawyer in Iowa and was really itching to get back into the coaching world. And George encouraged him to meet with me, and I told Bruce early on, I said, I wish this would have happened 3 weeks earlier. I'm really down the road, really far down the road with an offensive line guy I'm about to hire. Well, then for some family circumstances, the guy I was going to hire fell through, and I reached out to Bruce, and I was like, hey, if you're still interested, why don't you come down here, and we can talk more about it. And Bruce came down, and I sold him on what we're trying to do. He got fired up about it, and him and Jan, his wife, moved down from Iowa. Emma, their daughter, moved with them, and now Emma's on our staff, and Bruce is on our staff, and George makes this his off-season home.
I'm talking to Trent Dilfer, and, of course, the head football coach over at Lipscomb Academy. And Coach, I'm sure everybody, regardless of the sport that they coach, is trying to be creative and trying to keep their players active, informed, as you've mentioned, right? You got to get across to them the importance of all this, but I'm sure they want to stay active. How have you tried to get them creatively staying active, staying in shape the best they can under the parameters that we have right now?
Well, I've done nothing early on, and it's been killing me. But we, you know, Luke Richardson, who's our strength coach, sent him a great spring break body weight, or if they had access to a gym workout plan. And our boys are really bought in, and I feel really good that they were doing that over spring break. Now that they've come back from spring break and they're in this more of this physical distancing realm, I really want them to focus on their families. I'm figuring and I'm trusting that they're maintaining what they did over spring break, but I really want them with their families. I want them not worried, not thinking that if they don't do something for a week, it's going to kill them for the fall if we end up having a season. Now, saying all that, next week we'll get more involved with them on creating, being creative around finding ways for them to get outside, continue their development in a safe environment. If they have access to a home gym or if they have a set of dumbbells or whatever they have, maximizing the equipment that they might have at home. But this week I really didn't do anything. I want them to focus on, because, you know, so much has happened since last Friday. If you just go back to last Friday, and I'm sure you guys have dealt with this with your families. I mean, every single day this thing's evolving and changing, becoming more dynamic. I want to be sensitive to that family dynamic as it evolves, and not the football coach is telling me I got to go out and do, you know, 500 burpees and run 3 miles or whatever it is. So we'll get more into that as families start settling into a rhythm with this new normal.
Trent, I want to ask you real quick. I guess the draft is going on for the NFL. You have traditionally, this has been part of what you've done, evaluate people for the draft. Maybe you could give us a sense of how somebody who is getting ready for the draft for a team would have to adapt under what we're all doing right now. You know, going with the flow here of what we're being told to do distancing wise. How does that affect somebody trying to evaluate a draft person?
I think it's both. It's hard on both sides, you know, because really what this comes down to, after they do the physical evaluations of everybody, their traits, you know, their athletic ceilings, then it really becomes down to fit within their team culture, fit within their organization, fit within their scheme fits, whatever it is. And a lot of that is about the interaction they have with the athlete. That's why they get the 30-ish visits every year. I don't know the exact number, but they're able to bring, I think it's 30-something players on campus and get to spend the day with them and interview them and hang out with them and take them to dinner and put them on the board and watch them work out, do all the things they do. And I that's probably the most valuable time of the pre-draft process for the organization. Well, now that's become a Zoom thing. I mean, I know Tua's done Zoom calls with the teams that are interested in him the last few days. And that's about as much interaction as they can have with these players. And then from the player standpoint, I don't think they get to fully get to show off their personality. If one of your greatest assets is the energy that you put off and your enthusiasm and your ability to engage with people, well, that gets lost in Zoom. So the team isn't getting a true evaluation of that person's, let's call them, emotional traits or social traits. So there's definitely a gap this year. I think, you know, we'll look back like every draft in 3 or 4 years and you'll probably see a lot of really big misses. My guess is if you look at this draft 3 years, 4 years from now, it'll be the draft of the most misses because the teams won't be able to fully delve in at the level they want to on the psychological, emotional, social evaluation, which to me is probably every bit as important as a physical evaluation. And they're going to have to lean on a lot of people. I mean, I would think, I've only talked to a few college coaches, but I would think that if you're really interested in a player, you are talking to that college coach, the position coach, the you know, geology teacher, the business major, dean. I mean, you're talking to as many people that have an intimate relationship with this player as possible to get kind of a psychological profile of this person.
We're talking to Trent Dilfer, head coach at Lipscomb Academy, and also a former NFL quarterback as well. The Titans ultimately decide to go long-term with Ryan Tannehill after what he did for them last year. He's going to be the quarterback moving forward. So now that he's been handed the keys to the car, what do you think the next steps are for him as he gets ready to prepare for another training camp and another season and know that he has been given that job?
Well, I think it's a huge advantage for him to have the whole offseason, regardless of what the offseason looks like. He's the offseason, like you said, having the keys. I think one of Ryan's greatest strengths is his interaction with his teammates. It's his personality. It's his camaraderie. You know, he really connects with his teammates. I think, you know, an entire offseason of doing that, whenever they can start working out. I know a lot of these guys are finding places, whether it's private gyms or parks or, you know, school institutions aren't completely shut down and they're getting out with their guys right now and they're throwing and they're talking ball. And I think that's a huge advantage for him. I think from a playing standpoint, I think the offense will only grow. And again, I don't think this is an offense that wants to throw it 35, 40 times a game. I think this offense is best when the throw volume's low. It's a run action type system, which I think I've always said this even when Ryan came here from Miami. I think he was built for more of a run action system instead of a drop back system. I just think they continue to build off the things they do well. I know we're just a little high school program, but we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're looking at what our players do best and put them in a position to do it better. Find more ways of getting them to do the things they do best. And the best NFL coaches do the same thing. So if you're an offensive staff for the Titans right now, you're just going back through all your film and you're saying, okay, Ryan's really good at this. Let's find four new ways of doing this. You know, our receivers run this combination really well. Let's dress it up 5-6 different more ways. Here's a run scheme that we didn't really major in last year that could really fit our runner and our quarterback and our action game. Let's do more of this. And it's really just building off what you do well and then maybe identifying some things that, you know what, we thought we were going to be good at this, but we weren't. So let's not invest into it. Let's get rid of it and invest in the things that we know our guys can do well. One of the myths in the NFL is that everybody can do everything well. You know, and that's just not the case. Tom Brady, you know, Bruce Arians is going to learn this about Tom Brady. There's going to be stuff that Bruce wants to do that Tom just doesn't like. He's not good at it. So they're not going to do it. So it's the same thing with the Titans.
Yep, that's well said. We wanted to just check in with you, see how you were doing. Thanks for doing this, and we'll keep checking in with you, and you guys be safe over there.
Yeah, you too. Always fun to be with you guys. See ya.
Thank you, Trent. All right, that is Trent Dilfer, Lipscomb Academy head football coach, and we do appreciate him checking in. We will come back, like I said, Sean Henry at the bottom of the hour. You just made the list at noon. More of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Had Alex Bowman on, NASCAR driver, in the first hour, and you just heard Trent Dilfer to kick off the second hour. Good stuff from him back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. I'm just going to tell you, I disagree with what you said, Chase. I know we had to kind of pivot and quickly go to Trent. They get paid big bucks, man. Come on. Why do you think they send scouts out all year long? They're at games, they're on campuses, they're doing homework. They already talked to these kids. They're doing work all year round. Boo hoo. Oh,
so you're saying keep it.
We can't do it as normal. Oh, boo hoo. You know what? Tough. Deal with it. NFL GMs. Everybody, nothing's normal right now. Look around you, okay? We get it. Nothing is going to be normal. So just do it. Why do you send scouts out? Why do you have personnel out at games and campuses year-round collecting data and talking to these kids and talking to coaches and talking to people on campuses about these players? Use that. Well, why do you do all that if all of a sudden this time of year, right before the draft, you can't do your normal stuff? Boo-hoo. Deal with it.
And I hear you. I agree with you on that. I think part of it for me, there are several different things you can look at with this. Is if you can move it back and still have some semblance of what the draft is so the players can experience it, then I would move it. You make very good points, though. I mean, you're scouting all year. You have the data. So I do understand it from that point. But if you have GMs pushing back and you can't all get on the same page, then that's another reason why I think you go ahead and delay it. I mean, the NHL has. I mean, they've already done that. Now, granted, they could be playing games, so it's a little bit different. But I think
there's a difference because we don't know the draft order. We've talked about this with Elliot yesterday.
Right.
Like there's no, you know, we don't have a draft order. The NFL, nothing has changed. Nothing. We know the draft order. Okay.
So you don't look at it from like the collegiate player point of view of getting the whole draft experience. And I know there
Chase,
are a lot.
That's not going to happen this year, no matter when they do it. It's not going to happen. There is not going to be a normal draft, period. Doesn't matter if they do it in August.
And
it's not going to happen. There is not going to be a normal draft in 2020.
Yeah, I think that is, I think, the reality. And so regardless of what you do, it's going to be different. And so I think Roger Goodell, I think he made the right choice here. Here's a couple of things that he was quoted as saying in a memo that was an internal memo, but Adam Schefter has gotten a hold of it here. I'm just reading it off. I'm sure he's not the only one, but I'm reading it off of ESPN. And he said, listen, basically shut your mouth and do this. This is how we're doing it. Everybody's got the same boat. Everybody adjusts. But this is the quote. Public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action. In other words, it's basically, I don't want to hear the complaining about it because it doesn't go over very well because everybody in the country is adjusting, right? Everybody in the world is adjusting. Their everyday life is adjusting. You know, it's different. So it's no different for scouts. True.
And
teams.
Boo freaking who. I don't want to hear NFL GMs. What are you going to do? It's not normal. Well, duh. Nothing's normal right now. Get over it. Use your data you've collected all year and do the draft. Gosh, suck it up.
Now it is going to be different. That was great insight by Trent Dilfer, right? I don't think he was saying they should change it, but I think he was just saying it is going to be different.
Sure.
And it is.
He said there'll be more misses.
Create a little bit more of an uncertainty in, you know, how well you know these prospects. So there's probably going to be more misses, but that's a theory, and only time will tell.
I'm disappointed in you, Chase. Man, you got soft in your physical distancing. Wow, that was – you just turned into a big old marshmallow with that story. Come on. I thought you were toughening up. You've had this hard stance on all these things, and then all of a sudden you just turned to jello.
I know. I did. I have no argument. Like, I can't even push back on that.
What's the deal? Right. Sawyer, he's softening you up back there. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, he – well, so during the interview with Trent, you know, I had a sweet roll sitting on the desk, and, you know, was going to eat that during the break, and I'm trying to ask Trent a question, and Sawyer's trying to take it, and, you know, there was just a lot going on. So yeah,
you have to put it up pretty high for him not to take it.
Yeah, he's looking at me like, you're not paying attention, I'm going in.
I'll give you another quote that I thought jumped out in this memo that Adam Schefter has shared with everybody. This is from Roger Goodell. I also believe that the draft can serve a very positive purpose for our clubs, our fans, and the country at large. And many of you have agreed. And that is something. I mean, we would find something, right? But the fact that the NFL is at least doing transactions has given us something to occupy our time, subject material for shows like ours. That has served a purpose. Would you guys agree? And the
yes.
Draft would be no different, right? Our talk about the draft, our preparation for the draft, something to do, and we can do it while we are, you know, practicing the distancing and all these things.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, is that a part of it? Yeah, I mean, yes, it'd be great for us, but that's not why I believe they should do it. But will it be better served for us and for everybody to have a little, you know, I thought Trent Dilfer, he's right. I kind of like that. By the way, I wasn't kidding. I kind of like that better than social distancing. He's right. I mean, we shouldn't be social distancing. We should be, you know, physical distancing. So I do like that. And so it's good
too.
To have something to talk about. It's good to have, you know, the NFL right now is getting all the headlines. I mean, we didn't have a problem with them conducting free agency and doing that. So, you know, they're going to get the platform at the end of April. I mean, there's not going to
we'll
be anything
watch.
Else going on.
Because
we'll
by,
all, right, whatever they trot out there, we'll watch, and we'll certainly talk about it for sure.
Because here's something to think about that, you know, I was kind of had this on my mind last night. Like, I've had fun watching old races or old games. You know, I was texting you guys watching the 2001 World Series Game 7, I guess it was, between the Yankees and the D-backs and some of the old names. And I'm watching Mets, Cubs from 94 right now and the Braves from a few years ago. And that's all fun. Eventually it's going to get old because it's like, you know what happens.
Sure.
So we're all going to get hungry for new content and different things and get tired of watching, you know, games of yesterday. Nostalgia is cool for a while, but eventually just you get bored. And I think that's what's going to happen. So from that standpoint, I think a lot of people will be, you know, very hungry for something, you know, seeing, you know, analysis of, of some of these prospects as they get drafted.
Yep. We'll come back. Predators president and CEO Sean Henry joins us next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good message. Even though it's nice today, take a walk around the neighborhood. Dogs out. Even the family. Get out and enjoy the weather. It's going to be low 80s today. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, let's bring in the president and CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, on the line with us. Sean, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. But I thought I was getting like cold billing. I thought it was Darren Donick, Chase Henry.
Well, look, we will welcome you. If you want to be a part of this, by the way, what has it been like? I mean, you're a very hands-on, you like being around people, and this, you know, you love your family, you got a big family, but, you know, we're in unfamiliar territory. What's it been like kind of going through daily business on your end?
Well, I think it's the same, you know, for everybody. You know, we all thought we'd miss being around people, and I think it hits home a lot harder how much you really do miss being around so many different people and get a chance to be around our incredible fans and partners, you guys, and you know everyone you work with. And it's surreal. It really is. What is nice, though, for me is you know we are connecting every day to all of our staff. Have a lot of video conference calls, which alone is kind of funny to see all of us bungle through the technology, but with one goal in mind, and that's to try to connect with our fans as much as possible, make sure we keep this together so when we come out of this, we're a stronger business than we went into it. And it's amazing. You see some incredible things from different people. Not that you're surprised, but it really reinforces how strongly you felt about certain people and how good they're doing. And then some people you don't know that well in and around the organization, you see all the great things they're doing. And it really is fun. And I think every business in our community has a chance to see that same thing. And then some businesses are you know, maybe not doing the things that we're most proud of. And I think we'll all remember them too.
Yeah, well said. You know, it's been an interesting time here in the last 3 weeks in this market, starting with the tornado and now this and now a season that is halted. And you sitting in the position you're in, you don't have exactly a manual for everything. Sometimes you have to address and tackle. I brought it up on the show several times, applauding you and a lot of the organization and a lot of people, a lot of businesses here in Middle Tennessee doing the right thing, stepping up, helping out. And, look, you don't have to, but, you know, you have a lot of work. Bridgestone Arena, this just in, it's a really busy venue. You know, you got a lot going on there, not just hockey games and concerts and events. And you've got a big staff. And for you guys to step up and, you know, whether it's the SEC tournament getting – canceled after Wednesday's action and paying employees that were set to work certain events here. That was really huge. What went into that? And yet again, I'll just say I applaud you and the entire organization for doing that. It's a very, very kind gesture.
Well, it's really nice of you to say that. You know, first it starts with, you know, we have an incredible group of owners. I mean, they all love Nashville. Either they're from here or they moved here to build a business here, and they love everything about everything that, you know, this community is. So for us, I guess it is a kind thing. It's the nice thing. It's the right thing to do to take care of each other. But make no mistake about it, it's also the smart thing for business. You know, what we're doing isn't just charity. We're doing what's right because if we take care of each other, we take care of our employees, try to do what's right for all of our clients and customers, it'll make our business better. So I don't know which came first. We were doing it because it was smart business or we were doing it because it was the right thing to do for the people that we all care about and love. I'm not sure, but the two go hand in hand together, and we will come out of this as a stronger, better business because of what we're doing for each other. So, I mean, it's nice to get the accolades for doing what's right, but you should always do what's right. And, again, I'm just so thankful that I work for a group of people that see it the same way, that, you know, let's take care of each other. This is a small, painful hiccup for all of us. Let's not make any rash decisions to take care of, you know, short-term address pain, when in reality we do what's right for the next 6 weeks, 3 months, whatever it may be, we'll enjoy the fruits of that for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So it's nice that you say it, but I almost feel guilty hearing it because, again, it's really just the smart thing to do.
We're talking to the president, Sean Henry, president CEO of the Nashville Predators. And Sean, before we go any further, I want to know how many classic Yankee games you've watched here, including the Pine Tar game that I got a chance to see. Did you catch that, or the 78 playoff Bucky Dent and the Yankees against the Red Sox at Fenway? Those are two that jumped out at me that have made the rounds here on the various channels.
You know what? I have not actually watched any classic baseball yet, but you know, both those games are burned in my memory. I was at Michael Bianco's for the Red Sox game and Tommy Hinch's for the Pine Tar game. It was an afternoon game, if I remember. So I want to paint those memories by watching them again. But, you know, we have put together about 25 different Lego boxes. We bought every puzzle there is to buy at every toy store, and have a lot of conference calls going on. But we're doing a lot of our own fun things, creating our own sports at our own house. But I do enjoy our classic hockey games. I might have to take in maybe the last game I think is being offered up at the old Yankee Stadium, when, of all people, my favorite ballplayer, Fred Stanley, hit the last grand slam out of the old Yankee Stadium. So I think that one's coming up. I'll watch that one.
Wow. Wow, that's good trivia right there. We are doing trivia later in the show, Sean, if you want to participate.
Well, you're welcome.
That's coming up at 1 o'clock. Okay. Back to what you just mentioned, you know, some of the things, and I have the privilege of, you know, being aware of what is going on internally, but some of the things that you guys are directing, you know, to keep people productive, keep people in touch with the thing. I mean, for example, you know, people aren't, you know, have the mindset, Ryan, of buying tickets for a concert or maybe an upcoming game, but you still want to keep that connection going with everybody, because that's really the focus right now is staying connected. True?
Yeah, it really is. And you know, we've been really diligent about having all our sales and service team reaching out to all their accounts and clients, and sure, missed one or two and cycling back through that. If you haven't heard from someone, let us know, because we want that to happen. Starting next week, we're going to have non-sales and service staff calling our account reps just to say thank you, check in on them, give any updates that we may have. But that connection is important. I mean, you talked about it earlier. We're all so used to being around people, and all of a sudden you're isolated, and you're not part of people, and that's a drain. And you're probably on our email chains. We're doing a lot of, you know, silly, fun things too. You know, share your picture of your pet, your walk, the sun, your favorite sports moment, your favorite national park, and it's fun to see a couple hundred people engaging back and forth, and everyone's on our email list, you know, from our Coach Hines to David Poyle, and Dave and I talk two or three times a day, and he's laughing. He said, I've never gotten so many emails in my life that just make me smile. And it's fun to stay connected that way. So connection is everything. And making sure that when we hear something that's going wrong for somebody, we can try to step in and address it. And again, the glue for our whole organization is the foundation that Rebecca and her team do to allow us to continue to push forward and raise money for the tornado victims and try to figure out where the food deserts are right now, to maybe deliver some food to some kids that would have enjoyed school aren't right now. Those are kind of the glues that hold us together. So we're not doing what we all love, and that's selling hockey tickets and celebrating hockey and high-fiving at concerts, but we are doing things that we hope help the community.
I know right now the picture is very murky on where things are going with the league, and you can't share, you know, what kind of internal discussions are going, but maybe you could just share how the flexibility, the planning for different paths this thing could take. And I even heard, for example, the mayor last night on Channel 2. He was doing a town hall, and he mentioned Bridgestone Arena. And you guys have discussed with him, you know, in case if there's space that's needed, you guys are providing space for them. So there's so many things that I'm sure you are still going and having conversations with people just based on what might happen. And this thing is so quickly evolving, it's hard to keep up.
Yeah, it really is. Every day is different. And you know, to think you can predict what's going to happen tomorrow, today, is just a exercise in folly. But early on, you know, we recognize that if we need space, you know, we have a 700,000 square foot building at Bridgestone Arena downtown. We have 200,000 square foot buildings in Antioch and Bellevue with the Ford Ice Centers. So we reached out to the mayor immediately and said, you know, what can we do? You want to use the buildings? They're yours. Just let us know how we can help. You know, we took all of our gloves, you know, from the concession operations, food and beverage area, housekeeping area, donated that to the hospitals. Anything we could do to help move things forward, we want to do. Again, we'd rather focus on all the contingency plans of, you know, what the season could look like or what's going to happen next for the hockey team. But really, right now, this is about our community, about our country, keeping us all as safe as possible. And it's really inspiring to see how certain people are acting throughout the city, the state, in our leadership. And if we can help them in any way, we just want them to call upon us.
We're talking to Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the Nashville
Predators.
Holy, Chase
woke up. Welcome, Chase.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I've been here. I've been listening.
Willie and Shawnee Show.
Yeah, well, I like that. Name pending, but I like that. It's good. So something I've heard you say many, many times, whether it's been, you know, in a press conference or a meeting or you and I just talking, is whenever you guys come up with an idea, you always learn something from it. Either this was a great idea or this was a bad idea, let's never do it again. But there's always something that you take away from it. As we sit here, not as the NHL, but as the world that is essentially paused, do you think that, or what are some things that you think you're going to be able to learn from this and take away that might help with future ideas as it does pertain to your organization?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because the one thing we say to all of our staff is, you know, unfortunately, we all have a lot of different time on our hands that we're not using for what we normally do. So we challenged everyone to, you know, say, come up with ideas and plans that can make us better. Focus on things you don't normally have a chance to think about. You know, do a little bit more research. Analyze everything we've done, good or bad. Should we keep doing it? Should we stop doing it? Should we try to do it again? And quickly, you see people in pockets of the organization that aren't normally involved in certain things. Now they have time to think about it. I mean, just yesterday, one of our safety officers from Ford Ice Center came up with a plan to help first responders in the triage, if you will. So we challenged him to say, okay, the idea is good, but an idea without a plan really is a dressed-up complaint. So take your idea and put a little skin behind it. Let's figure out how to mobilize that so we deliver that to Vanderbilt. And you know, that's an exciting thing. Someone from our box office said, hey, we could do this for some of our retail partners to let the world know they're still open. Here's what my plan is behind it. So it is fun to see people that their day-to-day job might be X, but now they have a little bit more freedom of time to say, hey, we can change this about the organization. We can change this about what we're doing right now. And 2 years from now, here's something I think we should roll out. And it's kind of fun, I hate to say it that way, but in these dark times, it's fun to see the bright spots of different people in our organization saying, here's some ideas, you know, let's bring it to life. And I think it's allowed us to connect in a really, really fun way. Our social media is just popping right now. You know, our social media manager is just doing a great job in bringing everyone together, whether it's, you know, eat with us or, you know, give with us. You know, we're doing the blood drives in a unique way because one of our greatest needs right now is blood. Blood banks are empty. We're going to host a blood drive at Bridgestone Arena. Someone came up with an idea, worked with the Red Cross of how to give differently, and that's what we're doing now. So to your point, it really is fun to see people dusting off some business plans and really looking at them in depth for the first time in a while.
Yeah, and you mentioned when you had the press conference when all of this, you know, started that the, you know, stand with us is obviously the playoff motto, but give with us and now eat with us. So expand on eat with us a little bit, because I was just reading through some of this on what people can do, but tell us a little more about that.
Well, I am just so inspired by so many restaurant operators that are saying, look, we're not closing down. You know, we need to just keep our doors open. We need to keep our employees working. And, you know, they're losing money doing these operations. So our idea was, if we bring a little bit more attention to the restaurants that remained open for curbside pickup or door-to-door delivery, you know, let's do that. So we have some natural partners, and then we have our Pred-approved bars, you know, for our watch parties. And we said, let's get behind these companies, find out what their hours are, what they're doing, and get the word out, because the more we can help them, the more they help their people, the more they help their people, the pain becomes a little bit less on the community. And that's what we're about right now. And it's just fun to see, you know, so many people mobilize that way and come together. I mean, I fell in love with Nashville and the recovery of the flood. That's right when I moved here, and I realized how special it was. And you see a lot of those same traits coming alive right now, where people are banding together to do some pretty unique things. And hopefully we can just do our small part to bring more and more attention to those restaurants that are really sacrificing to keep their employees engaged.
Yep. Very good job. Last thing, we had a lot of fun this week in people tweeting us their sports memorabilia. I know you have to have a really cool piece or pieces. I know you do. What would be one that you could tell us is a really cool piece of sports memorabilia in the Henry household?
Well, I figure all is forgiven right now, so I can confess anything and no one can come after me. So I'll give you two pieces. The greatest moment I had as a fan kind of working was in 1996 when the Yankees beat the Braves in the World Series, and two of my best friends from my work world were together, and about, I don't know, 2, 3 in the morning, we were sitting on the pitcher's mound of Yankee Stadium celebrating still, as all the employees were. And when we left, somehow we ended up with the x-ray blanket from the Yankees training room. So I still have that. And I also have the Dasher board door from the 2004 Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. You want to ask how I got it or how it's in my basement right now, but I think both statute of limitations are up on both of those small crimes, so I'm pretty proud of both of those.
No, wait a minute. Where are they? Are they just laying around, or are they in something?
Well, we just pulled out the dashboard, and we moved about a year ago. We just pulled it out, and right now we have a lot of time on our hands. We're trying to figure a way to really display it, have that door activated. And then the x-ray blanket, actually Dak Carbone, who lives in Virginia Beach, stole it from me when we both moved from St. Louis. So hopefully he has it prominently displayed on his wall somewhere.
Wow, that's excellent.
And
now you
made me confess 2 thieveries in front of my daughter, who now is probably going to go out and commit a crime. Thank you, guys. I mean, you're lurking behind me.
Well, she never asked the question before, like, Dad, where did you get this? This is a unique piece.
She knew how much I was loving Tampa. She just assumed they gave it to me, I guess. I don't even know how they play games without that one piece of dashboard right now. Must be awkward.
Oh, that's outstanding. Be safe with the family. Thanks for checking in, and we'll talk to you soon.
Same to you guys. Thank you so much for what you're doing. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Sean. Sean Henry, President and CEO of the Nashville Predators. We will come back and wrap up the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. Good hour this hour. Trent Dilfer, Sean Henry, you just made the list coming up at noon. Guys, I have mine. I am ready to go.
Are you?
More than ready to go. Yep.
I'd like to give a shout-out to Ricky, who's listening right now, that just drove by my house and honked his horn and got my dog all very excited and
really?
Banana shape. Oh, yeah.
He did that on purpose? He's supposed to wait
until
we're on the air.
No, he did it while Sean was on. So.
Oh, okay. So he was trying to disrupt things.
He was.
Does Ricky live on the west side?
Yeah, not too far.
Okay.
Not too far from here. So he still had to go to work and was on his way home and decided to check in.
Okay.
So hello, Ricky.
Keep doing it, Ricky. Keep doing it.
Get Sawyer all worked up again.
I'm disappointed we didn't hear Sawyer go crazy. Does he go crazy?
He does. He just barks a lot. And runs to the window.
How's Stanley doing? Stanley's been the real disruptor on this show. Stanley is a little bit of a troublemaker, to be honest.
Yeah, he's on his best behavior today. I can report that he has peaked in, but he has not really started up any nonsense, at least to this point. But we're only halfway. We're not even through the halfway point of the show here, so the day is young.
Okay.
I don't know if it's Friday. He's just kind of worn out. He's just kind of laying low, getting lazy on us. But I feel like he's going to come in and start stirring it up here soon.
Oh, it's still young. We're not even at the halfway point yet.
Yeah, he's got time. He's got time. And I have faith in him. He's been pretty consistent.
He has definitely been consistent. By the way, guys, did you see where a third NHL player, well, they're not releasing names, but a third. Remember, there were 2 with the Senators, and now there's been another that has tested positive?
I saw that.
With the Avalanche.
Ooh. And the Preds division.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, that was to be expected. You know, I think all of us expected for that to start, and I mean, that's just where this is going. I mean, I think I saw yesterday that the U.S. now has the most cases of anywhere in the world.
This is correct.
Yes.
So, I mean, look, it's going to...
It stands to reason that there will be a few more people from every sport that are probably affected. I have to say, you know, we've been at this, 2 weeks since, you know, I guess it was 2 weeks ago yesterday that we all came home from Toronto and the pause was happening. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So it's 2 weeks, and we know of 3 players. That's that's pretty good. I know, you know, they've quarantined everybody just like every sport has, and they've hopefully, and it really looks like this is the case, that they've been pretty diligent. There's been a staffer here or there on other teams, not players, that I guess have contracted the virus, but I think the NHL has been pretty good at the distancing and the measures to try to contain it as best as possible. That's encouraging for now, but of course, as we know, if you're studying this thing, the numbers go up everywhere, and there's more testing going on, so the numbers are going to keep going up for a while. I don't know if you guys saw the interview that Steph Curry did with Dr. Fauci. I think has become a rock star in this whole thing. He has been a great voice of reason. He's such a great communicator, and he has gone. He is, you know, sort of the right hand man of our administration, and he goes back several administrations. Right, he goes back to I think Reagan, right, President Reagan. He's been doing this disease control, and he's so clear on how he says it. And so Steph Curry used his social media platform, and he's got millions and millions, what, 41 million people or something follow him on social media channels. And so Steph Curry had him on because there are some people that, you know, they're just not in the habit of watching the news, but they'll see what Steph Curry is doing. And so I think Dr. Fauci was outstanding. I watched part of the interview with him on there. He's very consistent with his message. He's very clear on what we're trying to do. I thought it was really cool that Steph Curry had him on, and he probably got the message out to some others that may not have otherwise had it.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him. Did you guys see where PK Subban is going to host we're going to have trivia at 1 o'clock. He's going to host his own trivia game show.
Oh, is he?
Yes, he is.
Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, man. He is made to be a game show host. I can tell you right now, he will be awesome.
Well, he's been a host. Remember the All-Star Weekend? I believe he had Roman Yossi was one of his guests.
Yeah. Now that was kind of like a Jimmy Fallon kind of idea there. That was a really big assignment that he tried to bite off there. That was not easy. But a game show host, I think, is right in his sweet spot there. I think that would be perfect for him.
Evidently, it's going to start in the next 2 weeks. He's hoping that it starts in the next couple of weeks. He said he has very asked cool. Ovechkin if he's going to – oh, I guess he asked Ovechkin if he would watch the game show. And Ovechkin said, yeah, why not? Anything for you, bud. Of course, you know, Subban's kind of putting him on the spot. What do you want Ovechkin to say? They're on a video call, and he's like, hey, you going to watch? What is he going to say? Not really, no. Sorry, no interest.
I got to learn more about this. This is the first I've heard of this. Is he doing a game sort of game show from his house or something and throwing out questions with people on video calls with them, or is this something more long term?
I don't know a lot of the details. This was yesterday in a video call of players from the Metropolitan Division. Okay. So I don't even know anything, you know. So I don't know.
Well, this is what we do know
about that, but that's when he announced it.
Maybe if you want to be on PK's show, you have to make sure that you can handle our trivia, which is coming up at 1 o'clock. We're going to have a great hour of trivia and have some fun. So if you're looking for something fun to do, something different to shake up your routine, because, hey, let's be honest, our routine has been shaken up. But this will be something a little different for you. Trivia at 1 o'clock. And we got some prizes for you. And I have got some good questions ready to go. Predators trivia is going to be mine. And I know each of you have a subject as well.
Yep. I'm going with the NFL.
I'm going March Madness. It is that time of year, right? So
it is March Madness time. If you weren't going to take that, I was going to take that one, Darren.
Oh, yeah. Got to do it this time of year. Got to do it. All right, we will come back and find out who or what is on your list. It's You Just Made the List time to kick off the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.